I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hit me!
It's time for HBCU Play.
Welcome to HBCU Play, everyone. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, my guy, Sam Crenshaw. And we are getting ready to bring you another exciting episode. But just like every show, we begin with...
Here's this week's starting lineup on HBCU Play.
The starting lineup.
How about the SWAC championship game? Big game they played it on campus at Alcorn State, Lorman, Mississippi. And the Alcorn State Braves get it done, LaRisha, 37-28 over Southern University. And they are the SWAC champion.
And they are going to represent the SWAC in the Celebration Bowl. We will see a rematch of the 2015 Celebration Bowl, which was the inaugural year of this game. North Carolina A&T going up against Alcorn State. The Aggies were successful that year in 2015, though.
But will it be different this time around for Alcorn State? A lot of names have changed. It's the same two teams, new head coaches, new players. Should be interesting to see how this game turns out a week from Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium here in Atlanta.
So excited about it. And you can still get tickets to this game, too, as long as you go over to thecelebrationbowl.com. It's thecelebrationbowl.com. Head over there. And tickets are on sale as low as $15.
As low as $15 gets you into the game. Of course, $25 tickets as well, and they go on up from there. But more affordable ticket pricing this year to get you into the bins to catch this game for the HBCU National Championship.
And, of course, with this game, there comes a lot of other activities, too. So prior to the actual game that's happening Saturday, December 15th, I will be participating in the 2018 Women in Athletics Professional Development Workshop, which is happening.
Look at you.
Basically all week. But I will be participating in the event. We know that Tiffany Green, she's actually the keynote speaker. She presents on Monday. I don't present, however, until Tuesday, December the 11th. And I have an interactive session. So I'm going to help you become a little more trained in the media. So yeah. The title of my segment is called Can I Get a Quote? We're going to help, you know, various young ladies in the area, I mean, within that session, you know what to do, know what to say to give the media the right stuff.
Whoa. You know what? I think you really fit for that.
I think
you're an excellent fit for that.
Thank you. I was pretty shocked when they asked me to do it, but I'm excited about doing
it. You should be.
I got my presentation ready. I'm ready.
Okay.
You know, we're going to have fun.
Fantastic. Just part of the big week here in Atlanta for the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl.
Again, December 15th, make sure you get your tickets. That game going down 12 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
All right, shifting gears now to some coaches from the coaches on the field to some coaches who are on the move at Kentucky State. The tenure of John L. Smith has ended as his contract was not renewed. Their parting ways at post is now vacant. Kevin Weston, defensive coordinator, serving as interim head coach to close out the semester and finish the junior college recruiting for the next season. Smith earned the SIAC Coach of the Year in 2016. Came to Kentucky State with over 40 years of coaching experience prior to a 9-25 record at Kentucky State. He also posted 150 wins at six schools as head coach, but he is now departed now. John L. Smith is out. A coach at Kentucky State.
Someone who's coming in, though, Clarence McKinney. He is returning to Houston to become the next head football coach at Texas Southern University. So McKinney, he served as the associate head coach and running backs coach at the University of Arizona in 2018. We know that he has extensive history in that Houston area, in the Third Ward area. Also an award-winning head coach at a high school, Jack Yates High School, prior to joining the staff over at University of Houston. So he is a well-known coach, well-known in that area, and he's returning and will, again, take over the lead as the head coach for TSU.
Yeah, and talk about coaches. How about some coaches who have been legends in HBCU college football at the Home Depot College Football Awards? Special contributions acknowledged by the National College Football Foundation there at the College Football Hall of Fame in downtown Atlanta. Five legendary coaches were honored. Rod Broadway, recently retired from North Carolina A&T, who also coached at Grambling State and North Carolina Central. Marino Chasm, known as the godfather of the SWAC, coaching at Alcorn State and Southern University. Archie Cooley, known as the Gunslinger. He was the coach for Jerry Rice at Mississippi Valley State. Bill Hayes was inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame just this past year from North Carolina A&T. And Willie Jeffries, longtime head coach at South Carolina State and for a time at Howard University. Salute those five outstanding coaches from HBCUs. They were honored at the College Football Hall of Fame during the Home Depot College Football Awards.
Let's give them a round of applause. A lot more information to share with you coming up on HBCU Play. We have a special guest joining us in the studio, Tali Carr, who is a managing editor and partner with HBCU Game Day. He's going to join us, so stay tuned. He's up next. We'll be right back.
Time out. There's more coming your way on HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's Larisha Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw, along with Larisha Harris, with us, and we are pleased to have a very special in-studio guest this week here on HBCU Play. It is none other than Tali Carr, the managing editor of HBCU Game Day, and thanks so much for joining us, Tali. Hey, welcome to HBCU Play.
Sam, you know, now the listeners don't know, but Sam and I go way back. Sam is an OG emeritus. When it comes to HBCU coverage, he used to be the sports director at a news station in Greensboro when I was a young pup and a guy I've always looked up to. And he used to do Black College Sports Today, and it was like revolutionary. Like, man, like, nice. I got to find this show so I can see what's happening in Black College Sports. So, Sam, pleasure to be here. And Larisha, you are so awesome.
Thank you.
I listen, I don't care what time of the day it is. Larisha's on the radio doing something. I'm like, when does she sleep? So I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Thank you for joining us. So, I mean, let's just start there with HBCU Game Day. The idea of it, you becoming a part of it, putting your hands on this and just getting it out there. How did it all originate for you?
It's an interesting story. I didn't start it. Stephen Gaither founded HBCU Game Day. And ironically, the evolution of the show that Sam used to do, it was a Black College, I forgot what it ended up being called by the time I was shooting highlights for it, but I was just at a game, and I would, you know, Twitter was kind of starting, and, you know, I'd be shooting an A&T game or a Winston-Salem State game, and I'd be wondering, you know, who was winning the other game. So I ran across this thing on Twitter called HBCU Game Day, and they had scores in real time from everywhere, and Sam can tell you, That was new.
Yeah.
Like instantaneous information from HBCUs. That was the thing. So in my mind, I was like, man, somebody has started this company, and apparently they have like 20 or 25 people keeping up with all this stuff because that's a lot of work. And so finally I ran into this little short guy one day at A&T, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm HBCU Game Day. And I was like, well, where's the rest of you? But no, it's just me. So we just started talking, and I was like, well, you know, look, man, I'm out here shooting these games. I was like, you know, I'd rather do something and help you, you know, a Black-owned startup, so to speak. And so it just kind of evolved from there, and I started helping a little, and then a little more, and then a little more. And then I'm married to a news reporter, and every 3 years, good Lord, we're in a different city. And so it finally just got to a point where I was doing production work for a living, and, you know, you build up a client base, and it's like, hey, baby, I got a new job. And it's like, okay, got to start all over. So one day it just hit me. I was like, well, no matter where I go, I can still do this with HBCU Game Day. So I just decided wherever I go, I'm just going to concentrate on this. So that's kind of the 10,000-foot level of how I got involved.
Well, Tyler, it's kind of ironic that we have you on the program this week, because last week we had someone you know very well, you know, Eric Moore, who launched, yes, he
and
is.
And that's exactly what we called him, the Godfather.
Well, for HonorDan.com, which for years was the very original and the first online platform for HBCU athletics, you have kind of taken what was launched with that idea and you have taken it to a new place, taking HBCU athletics to places that it previously hasn't been.
Well, look, Eric Moore is, without him, you know, I'm not here, because he saturated the market online. It was the original, when message boards was really popular, there was no other place that you could go to find out information and to share your opinion and to laugh and have a good time. It was the original Black Twitter, like, mm-hmm. that's what it was. So, you know, technology has evolved and you're able to do different things. So we are able to kind of build upon that and bring people video and podcasts, and, you know, the same thing you guys are doing. And but our concentration, you know, there's a difference between, you know, people who just kind of want to touch on it and just kind of, you know, play with the demographic, and people who are really fully dedicated to it. And that's the space that we are. And we know it's never going to be, you know, a 10 million strong, you know, message board or whatever. It is a niche audience. To a certain degree, but we're trying to expand it and grow it as much as we can and maximize that.
Tyler, talk about the importance of what you're doing when you think of this day and age when, you know, sports sections in newspapers are shrinking. Sports segments of local newscasts are really...
They still do it?
Almost disappearing. All the more reason why what we're doing and what you're doing especially is so important for those who want to know about HBCUs and keep up with them, the alums and boosters and the students and potential students.
And the thing that I love, and that's what we want to do, and it gets a little tricky sometimes because our staff is trained as journalists and, you know, filmmakers. So we have to tell the whole story. And people get a little mad sometimes, you know, when there's a little controversy with your coach or your player. Mm-hmm. We got to tell you that we got to give you all the information. We aren't a PR agency. But at the same time, our goal is to put HBCUs on the same level of coverage that your traditionally, you know, PWI schools have enjoyed. And the cost of entry to be able to do that now is, look, back in the day, you couldn't go out and buy a beta cam and produce. You could, but it was going to cost you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can take this iPhone here and do things that are amazing and give people coverage that, you know, we're not quite ESPN yet, but it's not black and white and grainy and fuzzy. Like, we're bringing you a production level that's consistent with what you see, you know, wherever it is that you consume content. And that's the thing that I love the most, is that playing ground. There's still a ways to go, but it's a lot easier and it's more efficient now to level that playing ground with the coverage.
Talk about some of the things that you guys do when it comes down to your coverage. Like, I know, for example, I watch what you guys do, The Huddle. Right. You post it on Twitter. I like watching it. I look forward to looking at it.
Oh, man.
Well, like, I mean, think it's really cool.
It's following in the footsteps of what Sam was doing with Black College Sports Today. The No Huddle, we do it live on Monday nights, and then it's always on demand. We were talking before we went on air, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, Sam had to get tape on airplanes, Greyhound bus, UPS. You know, now we can empower, you know, people in you know, strategic geographic locations, go to the game, get us highlights, send it to us. We can get all this stuff instantaneously. We put it together, and there's your content. And still to this day, there's an information gap because, look, I don't follow Georgia and Alabama religiously, but I know everything that's happening because it's subconsciously in the atmosphere with everything that I consume. So there are still people who, you know, despite this, you know, super information highway that we have, who still don't know everything that's going on with their HBCU, especially when they've kind of moved out of that geographic region. So we're taking small steps and putting in big effort to be able to have that information out there readily available for people to not only keep up with what's happening, but enjoy and be entertained by a place that's really special to their heart that they may not physically be close to anymore, but they can still consume that content.
Talk about the future. You know, the young people watching today's recruit is so much more sophisticated, and he lives online. And the fact that what you do allows them to sample and see HBCU where in the past they couldn't, as they get set to make their decisions about where they're going to attend school.
And the fact that we've seen a lot of top recruits make a decision to go visit HBCUs in general.
Oh, my God. Our biggest stories, you just go back and look at our website, and I can't remember everyone's name, but there was a kid who had an offer from Alabama, chose Grambling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that article went through the roof. The number one recruit in the nation was at Florida State on a visit, but he said, I'm going to swing by FAMU. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, that was huge. When I went to Winston-Salem State in 1992.
Is that how far we go back?
I'm going to just stay out of that conversation.
That's how far we go back. Go ahead.
I was a freshman in 1992. When I visited, I had heard of Big House Gaines. I was familiar with the name, but I had never been to Winston-Salem State. Look, I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina. I went to high school less than a mile from St. Aug. I'd never been on their campus. It was, no matter how close it was, it was still like, you know, that's a different place. But now you can, and the thing we try to give people is an authentic experience of what, for football, for example, of what an HBCU weekend is. You know, it's not only the game. The game is important, but there's a game within the game within the game. There's what the cheerleaders are doing, depending on where you are. There's what the band is doing.
There's the tailgate,
the people who never even make it into the game.
Step show.
There's everything.
Yeah.
There's four different subcultures, you know, wrapped up to this experience. And some people will give you a taste of that, and it'll be heavy on this end and heavy on another end. But we try to paint the whole picture and give everything its proper respect so that people – I mean, if you were just to go and scroll through our timeline on our different platforms – you would be able to have a virtual experience. I've never been to Lorman, Mississippi in Alcorn State. But we had a group of reporters there for the SWAC championship, and I knew what it was like. Mm-hmm. Like from the time the band walked in to the zero quarter, halftime, post game, we were able to deliver that experience. And you get a little taste of something on Twitter, something different on Facebook, something different on our OTT. So we kind of, you know where our demographics are, what they might be looking for, but it's great, and technology allows us to do that.
If you're just joining us, Tali Carr, who is the managing editor of HBCU Game Day, he is joining us in the studio to chat about everything related to HBCU's coverage, the growth of it, the future of it, all that good stuff. We have to take a quick break. We're going to go over into the playbook next. There, Tali, we're going to talk all about football and a little bit of basketball, too. So stay tuned, guys. More HBCU Play on the way.
Time out. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In the playbook.
That's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. Joining us in the studio today, Tali Carr, the managing editor partner for HBCU Game Day. He's in the studio. And now it's time for our segment that we call The Playbook, where we dive a little deeper into the action that's going on across our HBCUs in the athletic department. So we know that football is basically wrapping up, and it's time for us to go into basketball. But before we talk about basketball, both men and women action, let's talk about football. A recap of the season, so to say, from Tali's perspective. I mean, did you see things going the way it happened in any conference?
I crowned probably four different champions because there were 3-week stretches where at the beginning of the season, Prairie View A&M looked like they were just going to run away with the SWAC. I was here in Atlanta for the MEAC SWAC Challenge, and they killed North Carolina Central.
They did.
North Carolina Central didn't turn out to be the North Carolina Central that we were accustomed to, but, I mean, quarterback, wide receiver, run, Prairie View had it all.
Yeah.
And then they just hit some brick wall along the way, and they just fell off the map. And then FAMU rose up out of the ashes, and we had written a post about this early in the summer, and we were like, the MEAC needs FAMU to be great again, because a FAMU-A&T rivalry will set the MEAC on fire. And lo and behold, here comes FAMU. And they get to the end of the season and just womp womp. And, you know, probably 2 weeks ago, guys, I was like, or maybe 3 weeks ago, I was like, the Celebration Bowl could be Southern, FAMU, yeah, the Marching 100, the Jukebox. This is
that would have been Atlanta. Amazing.
It's going to be everything. And we're right back to, no, we got, and look, much props to A&T, but they're just right back. And the SWAC came down to, you know, Grambling and Southern, who's going to win again in the West. And out East, it was Alcorn again. You know, they lost their homecoming to Alabama State. And there was a week where you're like, uh-oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Same cast of characters. But it was a crazy ride on the D1 side. And in Division II, Sam, it's Freaky Friday. The CIAA has become a football conference. And yeah, the SIAC has become a basketball.
How about that? How about that?
How did that happen?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. All of a sudden, you know, Morehouse ends up with the best record, I think, in the conference, but they don't get to go to the playoffs because they tailed off at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were getting ready to be a great story. Well, they are a great story because we rarely have seasons like that for Morehouse football.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, their basketball right now is like,
it's
way
crazy.
It really is what they've been able to do.
And they really, you know, they lost Tyrus Walker, but I think they're a better team this year. Now, they did lose to Miles, but footnote on Miles, the former coach at Benedict, Fred Watson, is now over at Miles. And,
mm-hmm,
and Watson spent 16 years at Benedict. He's won like 5 conference championships. He's one of the better coaches. So he has quickly turned around that Miles for a lot of season to go. But that, for people who have never paid attention to Miles basketball, that's kind of where they came from to shock Morehouse the other day. But I've seen the SIAC constantly beat the CIAA in basketball the last few mm-hmm. years. And the last 2 seasons, no SIAC football team has made the NCAA playoffs. Last year, Tuskegee, that was just a farce. They beat too many Division I teams
yep.
to get into the Division II playoffs,
yeah,
which is crazy. But it's exciting. Look, I like when things get mixed up and it's not, you know, the same old that you know what's going to happen before it happens. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Good to see Bowie State do what they did for the CIAA,
oh, yeah,
too.
Oh, man, Amir Hall.
Yeah.
We just named our National Players of the Year this week for offense and defense, and for the second year in a row. We had a lot of discussion on the defensive side, but offensive side, it was like, let me check Amir Hall's stats again. Yep. There's no one even close.
Yeah.
Like our good friend, he came and joined us on the show and talked about some of the stuff, you know, just his mindset going into games. And he's like, I have to get 100 plus every game, 100 plus yards every game.
Yep.
Like, what?
And he showed this year that he can run, too. The last few games in the season, he started tucking that ball and running. I know he's going to the NFL Players Association All-Star
game.
So
right,
he's going to get a good look there. But he threw for over 4,000 yards this season, had an incredible season last year. It'll be interesting to see. He has the size. He has all the tools that they say you got to have. He's not an athlete playing quarterback. He is a quarterback who is an athlete. So I am very excited to see if he'll win the Harlan Hill Trophy as the best player in Division II, kind of their version of the Heisman, and very excited to see what his professional future will look like.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Now, we dabbled a little bit in the whole Celebration Bowl, CIAA basketball, all that kind of good stuff. The fact that this year we've seen to have a lot more people attracted to the Celebration Bowl, a lot of people are aware of it now. Ticket sales seem to be doing a lot better. What does that say about the awareness of this specific game?
Well, it's something new. So anytime you start something new, you got to beat people over the head with it. I mean, you know, it's like a billboard. You ever been driving down the road and you see this billboard and for the 1,000th time, you finally read it? Like, it's been there the whole time. And you finally look up one day like, Oh, that's a billboard about toothpaste. I've been looking at that thing. So this is the fourth year. It's a new thing, you know, between the MEAC and the SWAC. And, you know, the attendance dipped last season from the season before. So it'll be interesting to see how sales go this year. But it's the bowl game that kicks off the bowl season, 12 noon on Saturday after next, by the time people hear this. And I think it takes a little bit of time to figure out what works, what doesn't work, work the kinks out. But there's no doubt that people are very excited about being able to not have a hypothetical champion, but yep. You can say, okay, as far as Division II folks get mad, but as far as Division I goes, you can say, this was your best, this was our best, they played, this is the champ.
Yeah. Tyler, your thoughts about that and the fact that these conferences have made a commitment to this game and not going to the playoffs, because you mentioned earlier the idea of Florida A&M coming here, and if Florida A&M had come to play in the Celebration Bowl, it was going to free up A&T to go to the playoffs. The NCAA wanted A&T. They kicked off the season by beating Jacksonville State and East Carolina.
Yeah.
And so I think that was actually going to earn them a home game, first one, which is really rare for an HBCU.
Yeah. And that happened a couple of years ago when Central went to the Celebration Bowl. A&T went to the playoffs.
They went on the road, though. Yeah. They didn't get to play at home. Yeah. But the thoughts about that game and choosing that game over, because I personally applaud that. I feel like the HBCUs have gotten so little out of the playoffs.
He has said that all season.
We gave up one of our great money-making days in Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day was a great money-making day for HBCUs across the landscape around the Southeast. We happily gave that day up in honor for playoffs. We got one national championship 40 years ago, and Winston-Salem State, your alma mater, played for a national. Those are the only two HBCUs that have been to a championship game for the NCAA. We gave up all that cash. So I don't feel bad about, you know, what's happening right now with the Celebration Bowl.
Well, our culture is defined for that. When basketball season ends, the CIAA tournament is over, there's still games left to be played. Your winner goes to the NCAA tournament. But for the fans, for the most part, their brains click off. Mm-hmm. So our culture really gets excited about familiar competition, bowl atmosphere, classic atmosphere. I respect everybody who has an affinity for wanting to be the best of the best and win the national championship. But that if you want to maximize your fan base, leverage your opportunity to make money and just have a great experience, kind of keeping it in-house, between the conferences, like Sam says, it's working.
I think it works. I think the time the game comes on, it's the first bowl game. When it comes on at 12 noon, it's the only college game on. And because it's the best of the best, it's a good game. It's a well-played game. You don't see a lot of the sloppy, you know, pre-snap penalties and things like that. You're seeing two well-coached games. And I think that's what people remember about the first game between these same two teams. Mm-hmm. It was so well-played and well-coached. And, oh, by the way, Tarik Cohen just, like, turned the Georgia Dome upside down.
Yes, he did.
And so people were talking about that game for months afterwards. I just hope that this game will kind of live up to some of that again.
And look, we everybody loves to kind of poke Hampton in the ribs. Hampton, you know, leaves the MEAC, and, you know, this.
Let me get your thoughts on that. What do you think of that? I had to pull Larisha down after we talked to the athletic director on our show.
He
defended that. But what are your thoughts about them and what they're doing?
You know, at different points in my life, I have viewed that differently. I remember there was a time when Winston-Salem State, my alma mater, was making their Division I exploratory phase. I was like, don't go to the MEAC, go to the Big South, or go somewhere different, change it up. And as a younger man, I kind of felt that. But now, as a little older and in my personal evolution, not a big fan of it, just because – you know, we joke with the Hampton fans, like, hey, you getting hype about that Presbyterian game today? Or they played some school, Maritime, sunny. Yeah. It was real cool. It was like on the docks. You could see all the ships in the background. But it was like, that's not what you're accustomed to. Like, that does not have that familiar, you know, home feel experience. Yeah. And you can't even hate those – not hate, but, you know, you can't have strong feelings for these people as rivals. You don't even know who they are. It's like, okay, yeah, but it's like, man, yeah, Hampton, yeah. Howard, Hampton, Norfolk State, like.
I just didn't, for me, it was the timing of it. Not saying that you can't expand and grow, but the growth, so much growth that we've seen with the coverage of HBCUs and the exposure that we've been having, I just didn't think it was the right time.
You just have to go to the top, like Dr. Yeah. Harvey.
Yes,
like
that's where it goes.
that's in his wheelhouse
where it goes.
So it's I don't know. I mean, I don't feel that same way about. I mean, Tennessee State has always been that way, and
they
did.
They made that move years ago, and a lot of people wondered how they were going to do. And you know, it'll be another generation of alums that have to come along and go to school with it. The current Hampton alums, I'm sure they're like, who are these folks?
Yeah.
But if they're going to make a commitment to be in that conference, you get a generation of alums come through. That's what they're used to. They'll go out and support it. But, I mean, it took Tennessee State folks a while to get used to Tennessee Tech and Austin Peay and Jacksonville State. Like, why do we even play these folks?
Right.
You know, so it took them a minute to do it, but they've done it.
Hey, but that first 3 weeks of the Tennessee State season, man.
Yeah,
when they have their annual HBCU
that's what
tour.
They do. That's it.
Oh, that's
those are still the games that are best attended, and they're still their money making games.
Yeah.
So before we let you go, Tali, I must ask you: the CIAA tournament. We heard all the news about it, you know, moving and everything like that. There has been word, you know, of potential places that it could go. Where do you have a specific place that you think
you need to go back to Virginia? You got to mix it up. It's been down south long enough, and Charlotte does not respect the CIAA. It's like, we know y'all are here. We're not rolling out the red carpet. We've all heard the stories. You're gonna jack up the hotel prices. There's a CIAA tax when you go out to eat. Like, it is what it is, and it's been there long enough. I mean, it's since my all right 92.
Yeah.
Okay, just go back to, I think the first year I was in school, it was maybe the last year.
In Richmond.
It was the first year in Winston. I remember Coach Gaines' last year was my first year, and I remember going to the tournament, and we lost like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday to Hampton. So my first year was in Winston-Salem. So since 1992, it's been Winston-Salem, Raleigh, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you got to show some love to the northern schools, so take it back to somewhere in Virginia.
Will the crowd continue to do that, though? Because I think, to me, the thing about Charlotte is there's so many other things to do that people never make it to the arena. Maybe if you take it back to Virginia, people will make it to the arena for the games. How about that?
Look, when I go to the tournament, I see a lot of Walkers and a lot of Canes coming up. Those people there were a little bit spry back in the 90s.
Yeah.
That crowd is starting to age out,
and the
young folks are going to the tournament but not making it inside.
Yeah, yeah.
They're out there with Young Dolph and all those people that I don't even know.
Two Chainz and Fabulous.
I do know Fabulous.
So. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing to be said about it, because for the players, that's part of their incentive to go to a CIAA school. They get to play in this big event in a big arena that the rest of D2 programs don't get to play in. So hopefully they found a place as a mix that people will also want to go in and catch the games, because that's where you really go for the players and give them that support.
Yeah, because you're so used to these small arenas all year long.
Yeah.
And then you finally get onto that big stage. The PA announcer is booming. You got lights. Like, everything is big time. Like, you got to soak that up. All the whole week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tali, we appreciate you coming by and spending some time with us.
Yes. We do.
I said, I'm so proud of this man. Because, like, I go back when he was cutting his teeth in the biz, and it's great to see what he's doing now, something that's making the kind of impact and taking HBCU athletics to places that people have never received it before. So, man, congratulations on what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me. I promise next time I'll show up on time. I got caught in Atlanta traffic and Atlanta parking.
Everybody knows what you mean.
Man, so I might not get invited back. But if if I do, I'll be glad. The work you guys continue to do is awesome, and I'm just thrilled to be here.
Quick, before we let you go.
Yes.
Who you got? Celebration Bowl. Who you taking?
Alcorn State.
Oh.
They're going to be hungry. Not to say A&T isn't, but you know, they've been to this party a few times. They are accustomed to it. Alcorn just seems like, you take away their field goal kicker having his worst game ever, no one HBCU wise would have beaten Alcorn yet this year.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
There you got it.
That's the note.
More HBCU Play on the way, you guys. We'll be right back.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380. WAOK. It's almost game time on HBCU Play. We're getting ready for the kickoff with Larisha Harris.
You are clearly so quick-witted and beautiful.
And Sam Grimshaw.
He's a righteous dude.
On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. Larisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And now it's time for our segment known as The Kickoff. But I think we might change it to The Tip-Off since we're talking about some basketball action that's happening this weekend. What you think, Mr. Crenshaw?
I think so. Basketball is going into full swing on HBCU campuses. Let's tell people where they can see it, Larisha.
So on Saturday, December 8th, some men basketball action starting off with Central State at Eastern Michigan. You can catch that game on ESPN Plus at noon.
In Grambling State, they're playing at UCF down in Orlando. That game's a 1 o'clock start. You can see it on ESPN3.
West Florida at Morehouse, 2 o'clock, and that one is on Maroon Tiger Sports Network.
And if people are wondering, just go to the Morehouse Athletics website, click on Maroon Tiger Sports Network, you can see the game. North Carolina Central travels up the mountain to Appalachian State, 2 p.m. start on ESPN+.
Then Valdosta State at Tuskegee, 3 o'clock, and you can see that one on Tuskegee Digital.
Fort Valley State is at Carson Newman, 3 o'clock. That's on the Eagle Sports Network.
William and Mary at Hampton, 4 o'clock, ESPN+.
And Claflin, now in the CIAA, taking on St. Augustine's, 4 p.m. start. That's on the CIAA Digital Network.
And again, all these digital networks, if you go to those specific websites, correct, Mr. Crenshaw?
That's right.
You go to those websites, there you'll find how to directly get access to these basketball games. Some women action for you, still on Saturday, December 8th. Coppin State at Ohio U. That's 1 o'clock on ESPN3.
How about Howard? They're playing at Richmond, 2 p.m. on ESPN+.
Claflin at St. Augustine's, 2 p.m. CIAA Digital Network.
And Savannah State at Ole Miss, playing at 4 p.m. That's on SEC+. USC Aiken plays at Winston-Salem State. That's 2 p.m. on the CIAA Digital.
Now, moving on to Sunday, December 9th, some men action. SC State at VA Tech. That's 1 o'clock, ACC Digital.
FAMU is playing in Atlanta at Georgia Tech, 2 o'clock start. That is also on ACC Digital.
And Elizabeth City State at Morehouse. Catch that one on the Maroon Tigers Network at 4 o'clock. And that will wrap it up for the men's action on Sunday, December 9th.
There's some women's games as well. Norfolk State at LaSalle, 1 o'clock on ESPN+.
And FAMU at Florida, 1 p.m. SEC+.
Grambling State in Kansas, 3 o'clock on ESPN+.
And to wrap up, the women, Alabama A&M at Austin Peay, 3 o'clock, ESPN+.
Be sure and catch this action with HBCU basketball. Season's kicked in, and we want to tell you each and every week where you can find the games. Before we close, I want to remind everybody once again, Celebration Bowl is coming up next weekend here in Atlanta. Alcorn State against North Carolina A&T. Larisha, I understand North Carolina A&T has already sold out its allotment of tickets.
Wow, really?
Yes.
That is awesome.
Looking for a big time and a great show. All the excitement. Hopefully you plan to be here in Atlanta to be a part of a big week celebrating football at historically black colleges and universities. Just celebrating a national champion that will be crowned.
And remember, tickets for the 2018 Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl are on sale. They start at just $15. This is a fourth annual game between the MEAC and the SWAC going down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Those $15 tickets will get you a seat in the section of the band. Don't you want to sit by the band at
really?
The game?
Really? That's by the band?
Yes.
Ooh.
The $15 seats in the sections by the band.
Nice.
So, I mean, just different ticket prices than last year. $25 is the lower level for the end zone. So you can come and bring your family and enjoy this exciting game.
And if you want information about tickets, of course, just head over to thecelebrationbowl.com. That's thecelebrationbowl.com. There you can find the link for tickets. Click it, buy it, and we'll see you at the game next week.
We will see you at the game next week. But before the game, we'll see you here on HBCU Play. We're wrapping things up. Be sure and join us. And also remember, you can always catch any episodes of the show that you missed on the WAOK website.
That's right. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. I'm Larisha underscore H. That's L-E-R-I-C-I-A underscore H.
And I'm on Twitter at Sam Crenshaw 23.
Catch you next week. This has been another episode of
HBCU Play.
Thanks for listening to HBCU Play.